Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, let's do this thing. You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on a grid, and so is the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, Game 2 of the World Series. Countdown is on. Of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers take Game 1. 8-3 final score. Game goes over the number. Dodgers cover the run line, which they seemingly always do, with a few limited exceptions. We've got Snell versus Gonsolin this evening, although Gonsolin will be very limited tonight. And all you need to know is that his strikeout prop is 2.5. So when we talk about limited, he might pitch an inning. He might pitch 2 innings. I wouldn't expect him to even pitch 3. Basically, it's Gonsolin and Dustin May. You know, we saw the other night they went with May and then they went to Gonsolin. I think they're more comfortable after they saw Dustin May throw 8 consecutive balls to start Game 7 camp. I think they figure, you know what, let's try Gonsolin as the starter this time. But I find it interesting that the Dodgers, Cam, they're not going for the kill tonight, but they are in a sense. They're rolling the dice tonight. They got Game 1 in their back pocket. They've got Kershaw for another start. And we'll get to Clayton in a minute. They've got Buehler still waiting, Ken. Urias is a stud. It's almost like Roberts is like, man, if we can win this game tonight, we're going to bury these guys over the weekend. We're going to roll out Urias, Walker, and Kershaw, and it's game over, Ken. I think that's the approach they're taking. Like, if we can steal tonight,
approach.
We got last night. Let's roll out Gonsolin and May tonight, and then the rest of the series, we're going Kershaw, we're going Buehler, we're going Urias. Or do they throw Urias in tonight? No one knows. I tell you, though, so far, Dave Roberts, Cam, pushing all the right buttons.
I agree. And everyone's talking about Dave Roberts. Oh, I see on Twitter, oh, yeah, the Dodgers got enough runs, so he can't screw it up. Shut up. The guy's been great recently, man. What do you want him to do? The series against the Braves, he was fantastic. Guy always gets criticized. Everybody's so negative all the time. Here's the thing. He outmanaged Kevin Cash. Yeah, that's fact. Kevin Cash is known to give guys a quick hook. Everyone knew Tyler Glasnow didn't have it in that inning. I saw it. You saw it. Everybody saw it. And he left him in there to fry. So you could say what you want about Roberts. He outmanaged Cash in Game 1. And I'll tell you, Cash, that concerns me. As a guy, you look at Tampa Bay for value, but value doesn't mean crap if they don't win. But it was such a good number. But you look at Tampa Bay, and Gabe, is exactly what we talk about. The Dodgers are in the thick of things right now. They are raking. So many guys on that team are doing damage. They have so many killers in that lineup. Tampa Bay has guys, but not to the extent that the Dodgers have. So I'll tell you one thing. That's the thing. If they get a good work from Gonsolin tonight and they don't have to go to the pen early, that's bad news for the Rays.
Well, you know, people, as you stated, people are always quick to criticize. And I brought this up on Sports Rage late night radio last night. Your place to be for all the post-game action of the World Series, especially since I'm a Dodger fan, too. And I feel like it's just such a royal. Braves. I'd be like, yeah, we're talking football tonight. Now I'm like, two hours of Dodger talk.
I'm Gabe Moretzi on Sports Rage Late Night. Royals, yeah, Royals, who cares? We got the Giants and the Eagles on Thursday.
Exactly.
You're so
but
right.
You know what? I brought this up, Kevin, but I know you're going to agree with me on this. It's funny. If I didn't see Clayton Kershaw's name trending last night on Twitter. I didn't see his name at all.
No, no.
Because it's funny, because nope. I know if he would have given up a couple of runs and they would have lost, he would have been the number one trending topic on Twitter. But all you haters out there, all you losers waiting for your government check to arrive, sitting on your keyboard right now. You're quick to criticize, but you're not quick to admit how much of losers you are and how much a winner he is. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. We're kicking it with raising redhead camp.
So all you losers waiting for your government check. That was awesome.
I'm not suffering. It's a business owner right now. I'm talking about you losers that never leave your house.
Keyboard warriors.
Lives haven't changed one bit during this pandemic. You were losers before the pandemic, and you're losers now. It's just like Costanza when he got fired at the real estate place. That's why I'll always be on this side of the table, and you'll always be a loser on that side of the table. And I love when people call Clayton Kershaw a loser. Yeah, he's a big postseason failure, isn't he? He just passed John Schmoltz for second all time for strikeouts in the playoffs. So I guess that doesn't count. When the LeBron nuthuggers want to talk about the stats, stats count, right? But with Clay Shaw, so what? He's the second all-time strikeout leader. I don't know. Playoffs, Ken. He struck out 13 San Diego Padres 2 weeks ago in a playoff game, didn't he? Or was that an illusion? Saw you in the Star Trek holodeck, and it never happened. But last night, Kershaw, six innings, one-run ball. Nothing from all the pathetic sad sack trolls out there. Where are you at?
Hey,
just remember, for all you people that call Clayton Kershaw a loser, Clayton Kershaw has about $450 million in the bank, has a beautiful wife, a beautiful house, is best friends with Matthew Stafford, and whether he gets a ring or not, he'll still have that, and he'll still be living in mom's basement. So Clayton Kershaw wins. Go Dodgers. What you got, Cam?
Not much after that. hey, you know me, man. I'm fair in my analysis. I've defended Clayton Kershaw, and that's the thing. That's why I don't like narratives and stupidity. The guy's always been one of the best, and it's a two-way street when you're a good pitcher. You need a team to get to help you out and get some runs, and that's what happened in that game. He was absolutely stellar, and he mowed down guys. He was on his A game. Tampa Bay, man, they need to get out to a lead against this Dodgers team, or you're right, Morenci, it's going to be quick. I don't expect them to bail out. They're a gritty club, but the Dodgers are more talented. That's fact, Jack.
Well, I've got a bunch of picks for tonight, but one of them will a runner reach base in the first inning?
No, we're going to throw that one out. Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Game Time Decisions continues. If you're wondering what that kick-ass riff is coming in, that's Homicide. Great band, epic band, led by me. That's right, Homicide. Check out the video, Scourge of God, on YouTube. Just look up Homicide, Scourge of God. And Mike Cardano told me I was going to hell after he watched the video. But he misunderstood. I told him, like, you know, Cam, I am a religious person. So I would never have a song that was anti-God. The song is, we have all upset God.
God, yes. Scourge of God, I've only listened to it in my backyard, but I'll give you an example. It's basically God putting back his wrath in Armageddon on all the people. That's the thing. Yeah. It's God coming back to get all the people back. As you say, you bunch of trolls. God killing trolls. Scourge of God.
Scourge of God. Wipe them all out. Wipe them all out. Mm-hmm. So, in all seriousness, we saw the same thing. And you know what? I remember... And you and I, although we didn't rip the kid, but I liked when the kid, when he came out and he said it. And Trey Young, when we said, all right, you got to take, and you know what? We weren't insulting Trey Young by saying that draft night. We were on the air before the draft, guys, all right? So I was like, you got to take Luka Doncic, Atlanta. And we knew they weren't. And you know why they weren't is because he was European. They were scared. And quite frankly, he was a white European dude. They're in Atlanta. You got a black guy that's on ESPN all the time. Like, it was a marketing thing, actually. So we were like, you got to take Doncic. You got to take Doncic. He's better than Young. He's better than Young. Young has turned out to be good, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll give him credit.
Right? Young's just a three-point shooter on a bad team, but he's still good. But I like when Young came out. And he said, you know, it's funny, you all hated on me draft night, but you don't say anything now that I'm scoring 32 points a game. Dude. And he was right. I like the way that, you know, I find the same thing with Josh Allen, but with Clayton Kershaw too. And another thing is, Cam, you know, when you're the second all-time strikeout leader in playoff history, you've obviously, you know, had some success in the playoffs. He's 12-12 now in the playoffs. And let's be real, Cam. There's no disputing Clayton Kershaw's had some bad postseason games, as have the Los Angeles Dodgers as a team. It's a team sport, all right? They've won 7 division titles in a row and don't have a World Series. Clayton Kershaw only pitches once every 5 days. Clayton Kershaw didn't lose every game that the Dodgers lost in the playoffs in the last 7 years, jackasses, all right? Like, I'm just tired. Like, uneducated people, shut up. I understand if I'm sitting in a barber shop or in a McDonald's, I'm going to hear bad sports takes, but not on my watch here, buddy. Not on our watch, not here.
I'm not allowed in McDonald's. McDonald's is closed, and haircutting places, it's very tough. Very tough these days to get in, Gabe. You got to walk in with a mask and tarp. I will say this, though, and I want to mention one thing about baseball, and this is what we're talking about. Guys, come back. That Stroman story today, that's a whole other story. This guy is unbelievable. Like, he comes out and says, oh, I'm basically better than every guy on the Yankees rotation except for Gerrit Cole. He didn't mock Severino, but basically threw everybody else under the bus. Like, dude, what have you done to say something like that? Clayton Kershaw, this guy's a successful pitcher, like, all the time. That's the difference, man. Some of these other guys come out and they talk. Stroman's unreal. He was that way with the Blue Jays. The guy always, he's a horrible teammate, man. I'm done with his
act. Marcus Stroman, like, I'm done. Takes shot at the Yankees while saying he would pitch for them. Their pitching always falls in the end, he says. Yeah. Look, I've defended Marcus Stroman in the past, but his act is old. Folding in the end, bro. You didn't even pitch this year because you were hurt. Like, yeah, like Marcus Stroman, you figure, like, Marcus Stroman, you know who he is? He's Baker Mayfield. And at least Baker Mayfield has realized that, hey, I'm not that good. I better shut up and stop running my mouth. Like, Marcus Stroman runs his mouth like he's an ace. Like, at least Trevor Bauer backs it up. Bauer runs his mouth, but Bauer's out there every 5 days and he backs it up. He pitches well. And he'll own it if he doesn't. Marcus Stroman, bro, all you do is throw other people out of the bus, point fingers, overinflate yourself. And, you know, quite frankly, your career is just sort of, you know, you're actually an underachiever, yet you think you're a star. But, you know, there's a difference between Marcus Stroman and Clayton Kershaw, as that's who we were talking about, Ken.
Yeah, no, I was just throwing it out there that Clayton Kershaw, and you ever mentioned him. I know where we're going. I know where we're going. I'm just saying he has the right to come back.
I was giving my Stroman take. I'm like, Stroman's not in the World Series.
I just threw that out there suggesting sometimes you don't need to talk. Actions speak louder. And Clayton Kershaw, if anybody wants to come back and rip, he doesn't. He just goes out and pitches and does his thing. And that's something I respect in somebody. You know, he gets rid of the noise and he goes out and delivers. And I got to be happy. I'm happy for the guy. I had money on the race, +1.5 in the game. And he pitched a gem, an absolute gem. And he got out of that jam in the first inning. He sailed after that. Kudos to him.
So tonight it's up to Blake Snell. It's a big game for Blake Snell. The Tampa Bay Rays need to win this baseball game tonight. And Snell has been fading a little bit. His last three starts, he only has 10 strikeouts. Control has been a little bit of an issue for him. He's getting hit harder right now. The last time that Blake Snell was on the hill, he got taken out of the baseball game. And he wasn't happy about it. And he criticized Kevin Cash. And he said he wasn't happy about it after. Now he's back on the hill, and it's interesting because ever since that incident, Cash has been the opposite. Cash is normally pretty quick, and Cash is, you know, Cash thinks he's like a genius, so he overmanages. But if you'll notice now, Ken, there's been a couple of times, and it happened with Glasnow last night. It happened in the last series as well. He's left guys in too long after now. Right. And it's correct. Just a classic example. He's not fully on tilt right now, but we've talked about it. It reminds me of Craig Counsell years ago in the playoffs with Milwaukee. And Counsell, man, was like, he thought he was Casey Stengel or something, man. He's in the dugout. He's touching lefts. He's pointing. Every play was a shift. Every pitch, man, they were going out and calling, do this, do that. And he thought he was a maestro. And I remember I told you, Ken, we were on the air. And I said, when you do this, it's like being at the blackjack table for like 10 hours. Eventually, you're going to start making mistakes. And then Counsell did. And then the wheels fell off. I sort of see the same thing with Cash right now. He's not really sure of himself what to do with his staff. And you can tell.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that assessment. You're right. Sometimes you want to take like the Johns Gibbons approach and look half drunk and just let the players kind of do their thing instead of overmanaging. That's the thing about Cash too. Yeah, he's like a guy that things were working before and now he's questioning himself because he's going against everything that he's done. Every move seems to be the wrong one. It was very weird that he left Glasnow in that wrong. It's a huge game for Tampa Bay tonight. You said it. If they win with Gonsolin and a string of other guys and don't have to use Urias or anybody else, like it's going to be the party's over, and then maybe they will win in 4 or 5. But this is big time for Tampa Bay. If they respond with a win, then we have a series.
So let's get some updated numbers right now for this World Series game. And a number is coming down. The Dodgers opened up. They were bigger favorites last night. It was in a -150 range. But people believe in Snell, and people believe in the Rays. But as I was saying earlier off the top of the program, people are very stupid. So I'm not surprised. But it's down to 136 right now. Sorry, Ken. Nothing personal. So, down to 136.
Yeah. You know? What was my soccer game? What, you stupid? You're betting against Bayern Munich? You stupid? Yeah, maybe. I know what my problem is. I just got to win. Like, I don't know what it is. I told you, I've been brainwashed to take dogs. Like, from like maybe people need, I need to go and like rewire my brain.
Corner Kicks with Cam has been called. The network called back. They said they want Corner Kicks with Cam back.
Yeah.
Except now they're finding out you bet against Bayern Munich today.
Hey, don't worry. Atalanta was a hot pick, and they were very, like, only minus 150.
That's your favorite.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Atalanta.
What, Atalanta? Yeah, I like Atalanta.
Atalanta. Yeah. Atalanta.
Yeah, they. Hey, Kyle, you should be get a new team. Atalanta. Don't worry about the Falcons and Braves, buddy. These guys won't let you down. They're strong. Strong
side. Did the game go over? Usually they're a high-scoring team. Did the game go over?
Four, yeah, they won. They won 4-0, and tune into the update. I'll give you all the Champions League scores.
I've been missing out on this. I'm telling you, all their games go over. Italian games go over. Gambling joins us next.
This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Renzi, kicking it with a Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, World Series Game 2 goes down. In less than 2 hours' time, we're going to break it down. We gave you six winners in this game last night. We crushed it. We look to keep it going this evening. We've got it's a great, busy week. We've got the World Series. We've got Thursday night football is back, actually.
Yeah.
No NFL Thursday. Well, if you want to call it NFL football, it is the Eagles and the Giants. it's not really pro football, but it's football. Yeah. It's football. It's not pro football. It's football.
Yeah, it's football.
And, of course, a big fight. Big fight this week. I've been looking forward to this one. And I was just thinking a couple of seconds ago to myself during the break right now as we bring in Lou from Gamblu.com. I was thinking, I know there's been violent dudes in the octagon before and stuff, but I don't know if there's, like, two more scarier men in the world to be in an enclosed space with that want to knock your head off. Like, either one. Like, imagine, Cam, like, you're screwed. You're in an alley. You turn around one way. You got to go through Khabib. And you're like, oh, God.
You're like, oh, no.
Khabib's there. And you're like, all right, I'm going to turn around. You're in the alley. You start running. And then Justin Gaethje pops in front of you with his fist waiting. Which way are you going, bro? You're screwed. You're screwed. Like, you know what I mean?
You know what? Like, no, I'd probably go to I'd turtle, but if I had to find a lane, I'd go to Gaethje because he's looking for the haymaker. And if I found one move, you see me, Morenci, run for a big man with Khabib. I know what he does to bears. He wrestles them, he lassoes them, and he mauls them. He beats up bears, real bears. So I think I'd go with Gaethje, but I'd be killed either way. The safe move is turtling.
No, you know what? I'm going with Khabib. Gaethje, one punch, man. I can, you know, you're dead. But Khabib might have mercy on you, just snap your arm off or something like that. Lou? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, no,
you like our analogy? They're both bad men, brother.
I love it, but I would go to Khabib, and I would go straight in for the takedown. I'd give him my neck and just let him, and let him put me to sleep. I'd wake up. If I go Gaethje, when I wake up, when I wake up, I'm going to hurt.
That's the thing, Cam.
Or missing teeth.
That's the thing. Gaethje's going to get you with the fist. Khabib might just choke you out or, I don't know, pretzel you up. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been choked out before. It's not that bad.
But I was just saying, man, two tough fighters. going against each other, both with contrasting styles as well. Number is going up, Lou. I was seeing minus 300s. Now FanDuel's got minus 340 for Khabib. Talk to me about this fight that everybody's been looking so forward to.
Well, you know, I don't know how much you can really add to this. Khabib is a totally complete fighter. And though many want to give Gaethje an advantage on the feet, I'll give Gaethje an advantage on the feet, but it isn't the disparaging gap that many think. Consequently, Gaethje's wrestling acumen provides him the ability to be recognized as Khabib's toughest challenger because of his wrestling acumen and the fact that there's some question whether Khabib will be able to get him down. And if this thing remains on the feet, which Gaethje would prefer it to do, it makes it a tougher fight for Khabib to win, no question about.
Khabib camp 28-0. This is basically the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals. I thought they were due. Is Khabib due for a loss now? How about this, Lou? And I know, Lou, you do handicap the psychological storylines and angles to fights. This is the first fight that he's fighting without his father, right?
So that's correct.
And he said the other day, I found it interesting. He was talking to a bunch of fighters, and he was in the room, and he opened up, and he said, "I'm not the same man I was before." He said, "Without my father, there's a piece of me that's gone, and I'm not the same man anymore. Nobody is." Thought that was pretty deep. I get where he's coming from. You know, when you love someone, a piece of you is gone once they're gone. How does this translate, in your opinion, into the fight, Lou?
Well, I'm glad you said "in my opinion," because my opinion is that, first of all, the old man ought to be really proud of this kid. This young man, Nurmagomedov, I'm certain is going to be a senator or some kind of a national leader in Russia. He is mild-mannered, totally germane, a gentleman. If you saw the early stare down with Gaethje yesterday, the guy couldn't have been more reasonable. And that's a reflection of his father. He loses his father. I've lost my dad, and we've all lost parents, and it's affecting. However, Khabib's a little bit of a different animal. He doesn't fight for fame, and he's not fighting for money either. He's not fighting just to beat up Justin Gaethje. He's fighting this fight for his father. That's why he should be 330. On that alone, if we get into the fight part of it, the fight's going to come down to this. And Nurmagomedov has told us what he's going to do. I'm going to smash him. So that he's going to go right in from the first step and try and take him down. And for 6 minutes or 10 minutes or 11 and a half minutes, it's going to be a really compelling fight because Khabib's going to be coming in and Gaethje's going to be moving back, keep distance, knee him, hit him, kick him, okay? But after X amount of minutes of Nurmagomedov keep coming in and Gaethje keep tossing him off, one guy going to get tired. And in their career, one guy's always gotten tired, and that's Justin Gaethje. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Gaethje, but he hasn't worked on wrestling outside the last few months for years. He doesn't use it in the octagon, and he's said that he doesn't like to use it because it takes too much gas. And Nurmagomedov has said that he don't care about gas. He didn't care about anything. His unrelenting forward pressure, as well as his ability that he's improved on his feet, coupled with the dynamic force of fighting for his dad, makes this a pretty simple decision for me. At openers, because of all this, we knew at the opening bell that Nurmagomedov's father had passed. At -230, I ate as much Nurmagomedov as my wife would let me. Now, in the time since,
very filling.
That line has gone from. That line's gone from 230 to 330, and so now it's a little bit different recommendation. And my recommendation is this, is at the outlets that I've looked, you'll have to check there for me, please. Khabib inside the distance, minus 110. I really, really think that's a very, very strong bet, and I highly recommend it.
Well, I was gonna go over all the numbers here, Lou. So Khabib to win the fight, FanDuel -340, Gaethje +260. Method of victory, Khabib by KO, TKO, +380. Khabib on points, +250. Khabib by submission is +195. Gaethje KO, TKO, +360. Gaethje by decision, 12-1. Gaethje submission, 26-1. How will fight end? KO, TKO, submission, or decision? No winner, so you just say KO, TKO. How do you think Khabib wins this fight, Lou? By submission, takes him down and, neck crank or whatever, puts him just in a horrible spot? Or is it a stoppage where he's raining down shots on him?
Yeah, listen, the biggest detriment to Gaethje's fight arsenal is his lack of BJJ. So if Khabib gets him down and gets Gaethje on his back, then it opens up to ground and pound. No, that's really a good question, Gabriel. However, as I see this fight going somewhere into the fourth round, when Gaethje starts to really get tired, when he gets tired, he gets reckless. When he gets reckless, he can get beat. And that, I think that's what's going to happen. And with a gun to my head, that's why I really like the inside the distance. But when you don't have it and you have to choose the three that you laid out, it would be a submission play for me.
Yeah, and if we look, too, I mean, let's be real. You look at the KO to submission ratio. Dustin Poirier, winner by submission. Conor McGregor, submission. Ian Quinta, decision. Barbosa, decision. Michael Johnson, submission. He the last guy he knocked out was Daryl Horsher. And before that was Thiago Tavares. He has two knockouts in his UFC career only, guys. So I think submission would be the way to go if we're looking at the specific prop. One thing, and I'll bring up, and I totally agree with you, Lou. I know about Gaethje and Khabib. Khabib's got a tank like an oil rig. An oil tanker. But with that being stated, Gaethje was impressive with his tank against Ferguson, wasn't it? Because remember, everyone thought, Ferguson even thought, I'm going to let this guy punch himself out early. And Gaethje did it. Gaethje just kept throwing, man, and coming at him. But it's a different animal right now. Gaethje believes, guys, that Khabib doesn't like getting hit. He only absorbs, a punch a minute, Lou? I know you're a numbers guy. I think it's basically...
Who likes to get hit?
Yeah, but no one really likes to get hit either. Exactly. And it's not like he's got a glass jaw or anything like that, Khabib, right? Yeah. You talked about the relentlessness. That's the thing that people don't realize when they fight Khabib. They all think, oh, I'm going to catch him, I'll box, I'll be fine. He doesn't stop until he gets you down. So he's just going to keep coming, and it doesn't take him a lot of attempts. And I know Gaethje, I think he's 80%. People have only tried to take him down 10 times. And he's only been taken down twice, I believe. But you're talking about Khabib here. It's a different animal. But the over-under for the fight is 4.5, Lou. What do you think about the total? We got 20 seconds before the break.
I think it's lined really well. The guys did a good job with that. But gun to my head, I'm going under.
You know, over 4.5 is +162. Under 4.5 is 210. We can get into the exact round betting. We'll also talk about some of the prelims and some NFL with Lou from Gamblu.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Gable Morency. We're kicking it with a Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart. We're on UFC Fight Island right now. Boss, the plane. Boss, the plane is here. Dana's here. Dana. So it's Fantasy Island, fight style. The octagon will be filled with Khabib and Justin Gaethje. We've got a number of 340 right now. It's parlay material for all you parlay pundits out there. For the parlay pundits, you know what, actually? I'm going to keep this nice and simple here, right? Let me just fire this off here, guys. Let you know what the number is. Why leave it on the board? Los Angeles Dodgers to win the World Series and Khabib to win the fight. Parlay.
It's going to be juicy still. Got to add another. Oh,
100 will win you 40. That's no bad.
Nah, it won't be that bad. It won't be that bad.
You're minus 400, minus 300.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll turn in, trust me, I play a lot of these. It'll turn into minus 159 in that range, I'm going to say. Come on, Cam, you're usually pretty good at guessing these numbers.
Nah, I think that one's a little bit higher because they won first game. I'm going to say about like $1.80, $1.75, $1.80, probably around there.
I think you're both wrong, but we'll get back to that.
Well, click it, and let's see what the number is then. Let's figure it out.
The first time.
All right. And remember, I told you guys about the LA-LA parlay, actually. An LA-LA mm-hmm. parlay for the Lakers to win the title and the Dodgers to win the title was plus 478. And now it would be pretty nice if we had that in our back pocket after the Lakers get it done. All right, so I'll look up this parlay price. We'll find out exactly what it pays. But are you going to roll the dice with Gaethje, Cam? I know you like betting on the underdogs.
I don't know, man. If you guys are both thinking like, Khabib's a lock, it's hard to take Gaethje. I was very impressed, though, exactly what you said, Gabe, in the Ferguson fight. I was wrong that fight. I thought Ferguson was going to win that fight, and he didn't. You said it. He had gas. He did a great job there. It's a different situation, though, but I don't know, man. That number is so damn high. You got to put parlays together with it because there's no way. Or you got to do what Lou did. You got to take it inside the distance or knock it down. That's the only way. I can't lay 330 with anything. Yeah, it's got to be like get that parlay to like $1.20 or even or something like that.
For the record, minus 173.
Okay,
and so it's
right there.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, if this fight was line 250, I tell you, Cam, don't fret. Take Khabib. When I put the numbers to it, I end up with Khabib 285 or so. So up into the threes is too much, but there's not enough value on Gaethje for me. Listen, at the end of the day, you got to pick the guy that's going to win the fight. Gaethje fought the perfect fight against Ferguson, a man that has very little physically and fight-wise to do with Khabib. So I don't think Gaethje's going to be able to translate that effort again.
All right, Lou, gamblew.com, kicking it with us. All right, Lou, what about, let's talk about Cannon Year and and Robert Whittaker. What's the updated number right now? It's close, and it's not quite a pick. Whitaker's plus 104 right now. What do you make of the co-main event, Lou?
This is going to be just a super fight. Whitaker, ex-champion, man with an abundance of experience, and a man that's also fought the higher caliber fighter than has Jared Cannonier. That said, the attrition that fighters endure, and even though Whitaker's only 29 years old, what his body's gone through, the operations, the knee surgeries, and the attrition, the damage he took in two Yoel Romero fights, besides the other fights you roll in together, have his skills at the other end of the apex for his career, in my opinion. I'm not saying the guy's washed. I'm saying his skills have waned. His quickness, his zip, and his chin have waned. And he's getting in there against a guy that started his career in the UFC at heavyweight, fought heavyweight fights, then dropped to light heavyweight, fought light heavyweight fights, didn't have very good success there because he was so undersized. He fought Teixeira. He fought Dom Reyes. He fought Blachowicz, the champion of the division. So even though Whitaker's got that powerful left hook, Cannonier is going to be able to withstand punches from Whitaker, especially after one round when I believe that Whitaker's going to start to slow dynamically. The advantages for Cannonier are explosion, power, and hunger. And that's the way I'm going in this fight. By the way, Cannonier trains at the MMA lab here in Phoenix. I watch him train. I'm there, when I can be. And while many people may read that as me having a soft side for the lab, I'm pretty good on my predictions with lab fighters. And I think Cannoneer is in a really good spot in this fight.
Very convincing, Cam. I know if you were on Lou's car lot right now, I think you'd probably be, I'm ready to buy the car right now. I'm ready to buy the RV, the Canyonero.
Sold. Yeah, you sold me a car now. Lou sold me an RV. Yeah, the parking lot's getting full.
Just don't slam the door.
Your race reports is interesting, though, Lou. Because, you know, Winnebago, man. Don't slam the effing door, Tony. Listen, I'm going to give everyone a clue here. It's going to be real hot. I don't want anyone effing around for the next rest of the day, including me. My favorite part, man, is the fly part. Stupid flies. Got one fly, two flies, seven flies, goddamn flies. He starts like flipping out. And then he got into the meltdown like an hour later. He's in the RV. He's like, it's not even funny anymore. Not even funny anymore. What's the goddamn line say, Tony? Why can't I remember the line? I wrote the lines. Yeah, check it out. Winnebago Man, if you don't know it. I can do a good Winnebago Man, actually. If I really am in character, I can nail that like entire video. I've got a lot of rage issues myself. I sympathize with Winnebago Man. All right, so one thing, but when your breakdown, Lou, in a fight, great job. But it's interesting because everything you talked about Whitaker, you would figure that he's the 36-year-old man and not the 29-year-old and Cannoneer, right? It's interesting, sort of like, as you say, like his body. He's not done, but his body is pretty beaten up for a 29-year-old. I like where you're going with that. And, you know, Cannoneer seems, and, you know, I like where you're talking about being able to absorb those punches that Whitaker has. And Whitaker has just lost a little bit of that step due to the injuries. It's got to be in his head, Lou, when he's in the octagon. Man, oh, I've broken this bone. Like everything, the guy's got like a million broken bones and a lot of different injuries. He's been in a lot of wars, Lou. I get your take on this one.
When we see Whitaker go for the takedown is when we'll know that the fight is in Cannoneer's control. And believe me, he's been preparing for that.
All right. So Walt Harris, of course, Walt Harris tragically lost his daughter, was murdered, and he fought Alistair Overeem in a very emotional fight. And I'll tell you what, Walt Harris was pummeling Overeem early. Some people were surprised that they didn't stop the fight. People that bet on Walt Harris were upset that the fight didn't get stopped. And then conversely, it got stopped quick on the other side. And then Overeem started beating him, and they jumped in and they stopped it. That was an emotional time for him, Lou. What do you make of this fight against Alexander Volkov, who's very tricky and awkward fighter to fight, Lou? Tall dude, experience, good fight IQ. Thing with Volkov is, and I know Volkov going back, you know, for years, back to his Bellator days even, he doesn't beat himself really, Lou. Like, he's not spectacular, but he's smart. And unlike a guy like Stefan Struve, Volkov knows how to use his length and the distance that he has. He got, he lost to Curtis Blaydes. He beat Greg Hardy, but he lost to Derek Lewis. Is Walt Harris in the same category as Derek Lewis? And I don't know if he's a Blaydes, but is Walt Harris that level of fighter? Because he's lost to the same similar guy of Walt Harris before. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, I think that the Volkov camp, Gabriel, looks at Harris in the same light that they do the Beast, and therefore they're salivating to get after him and get that bad taste out of their mouth. Volkov, you're right, very European, even though he's a Russian, in that their style, they're striking primarily, Muay Thai, very upright, somewhat rigid.
Yeah.
He absolutely needs to use his length and his kicks to maintain distance, and he's a steady fighter. He's going to need to weather a furious 5 minutes from Walt Harris, because Walt Harris, for 5 minutes, is a top six heavyweight in the division. However, Walt Harris, for 9 minutes after that, really fades. He's 37 years old, so not only is he going to be giving up tremendous height and reach to Volkov, he's going to also be giving up some age. Volkov's going to need to weather the first few, the first 6 minutes of this fight, but if he gets into the second round, I believe this fight turns totally into Volkov, and I see a Volkov pretty dominant decision here.
Yeah, Volkov's got a good chin too, guys. Like, he's been hit before. You look at the, like, he's faced sluggers, like real sluggers. Like he's been in there with Verdum, with Roy Nelson, right? So he knows the American slugger, Lou, right? Like you said, their camp, they know what they're getting themselves into on this. And listen, he got caught against Derek Lewis. There's no shame in that. You know, it is what it is. But I'm just stating, guys, if you're not really familiar with Volkov, don't be fooled by the eight losses. The guy's been fighting forever. He's been fighting since 2009. He's been in M1. He's been in Bellator. He's been everywhere. He's fought in everyone. And as I stated, as far as like big, heavy dudes, you know, he beat Fabricio Werdum. He beat Roy Nelson. He beat like the skyscraper and Stefan Struve, which I believe was the tallest fight in the history of MMA. I don't think it was the tallest combination when those two were in there. It was like 6'9 and 6'11, Cam. Volkov, big, tall Russian. So he's got a chin. All right, Lou, we only got a couple more minutes. Fun stuff breaking down this card. What did we miss? What are you looking at here on the prelims?
Yeah, the undercard, I've been waiting for somebody that's going to take Charles Cowboy Oliveira's face and smear it all over the canvas. And this guy Rachmaninov, yeah, he's a Kazakhstani.
Just knock his cowboy hat off.
Smear his face. Holy Lou.
I don't like guys that I believe cheat, and I believe at the head of the cheating list in the UFC is Cowboy Oliveira. You look at the fight against Brooks and a couple others. But listen, be that as it may, a kryptonite to BJJ or Muay Thai strikers, which is what Oliveira is, kryptonite is that grappler. This Kazakhstani is 12-0 in the M1 global scene. He has experienced main event fights in that division. He's fought on the local regional scene, and that's a tough local regional scene if we paid attention to Kazakhstanis lately. All the top fighters there, and he's coming into this fight really poised and ready to roll. He started a dog. I missed the plus 140, plus 130. I got to plus 120. I'd encourage your people to go find him right now because he'll go off the favorite. Rachmaninov, currently. You can tell me what his current price is, gents.
He is plus 100.
Pick him.
Plus 100.
Yeah. Jump on that like a fumble in the Super Bowl. Jump on that.
Does he know Khabib? Does he train with Khabib at all? He's 12-0. This guy.
He trains and knows Shimaev and that whole group. I'm telling you, we're going to hear a lot in the next few years from these Kazakhstanis and the Chinese. They're coming.
Give me a Kazakhstani fighter on the card that Khabib is on. This guy ain't going there to lose. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, exactly.
I like where you're going with that. Check out Lou on Twitter at Gamblu, gamblu.com. Game Time Decision continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That was great stuff with Lou from Gamblu.com. Really enjoyed breaking down this UFC card. It's a fun one. It's going to be a violent one, fellas. It's going to be a violent one. Joey Odessa will step up and join us on Friday. We'll get into it more. It's always nice to see the weigh-ins, the ceremonial weigh-ins, and everything else in between. And listen, it's the UFC, so crazy stuff's going to happen over the next couple of days for sure. But both these guys are very respectful of each other. Khabib is very respectful, and Justin Gaethje is just a badass that, you know, the common theme is they just don't like Conor. It's just they don't like Conor McGregor. That's what it comes down to. Like Gaethje and Khabib are all like, how you doing? Gonna see you? Good to see you. They shake hands. It's like, it's going to be a great fight. They both say the same thing. I respect the hell out of the other guy, but I'm going to kill him. Right? Like, that's what the UFC is about. Not the Conor stupid stuff, talking about your wife and your country and your religion and stuff like that. It's just lowbrow, cheap stuff. And I love that Khabib said, because Conor's fighting Poirier, and Khabib's like, they're not getting a shot after. Why? Just because they want it? So like, Khabib's like, I'm going to fight GSP. I want to fight GSP. And I love Khabib. I think Khabib's great, and you can argue he's the greatest of all time up there, whatever. It's an open debate. But nevertheless, it goes to show that Khabib thinks GSP is the greatest of all time because he wants that on his resume that he beat George St. Pierre. Because Khabib thinks George St. Pierre is the best UFC fighter of all time. Khabib discounts John Jones due to the cheating. So
yeah,
he respects. But the thing is, to me, it's like LeBron James wanting to play Michael Jordan in one-on-one.
Exactly.
Let's settle it all, bro. Let's settle it all right now, yeah. Bron and Jordan. It's like, yo, Bron, Jordan's like 57 years old right now.
Exactly.
However old he is. Like, he's not the same. So, Khabib, you're in your prime. George St. Pierre has been retired for 4 years. The guy exactly. is doing tire commercials in Quebec, Montreal right now. Like,
yeah, and insurance. Yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah, like, Bel Air insurance commercials. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, he's retired, exactly. retired. Like, he's not like retired waiting for the right offer. He's retired. Like, he is retired. I don't know what people don't understand about this. In game live on the other side, we get to the World Series.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.